All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
He didn't do that signal that allows me to understand. What is this music? Is this the theme to Golden Girls?
I believe that it is.
Why?
Because Bea Arthur died this past week from swine flu.
She didn't die from the swine flu.
Absolutely. She was the death. That's what I heard. I actually heard that she was a patient zero.
The death was a 24-month-old baby. Not a 84-year-old actress.
I think it was swine flu.
I think you're just trying to make that shit up.
That's what I heard.
Bea Arthur did die, though.
She did die. Two of the four Golden Girls, now dead.
Bea Arthur, and you should say, too, Bea Arthur is a legend.
She is.
She is a TV and movie legend with that deep, gravelly man voice.
Remember that movie Airheads?
Yeah.
With what, Adam Sandler and...
Brendan Fraser.
Wasn't one of their demands for hostages naked photos of Bea Arthur?
It was something like that, yeah.
I don't know how I remember that.
Of course, she did all those seasons of Golden Girls.
Right.
She also broke new ground in television with her character Maude in the 70s.
Right.
Who was a very powerful woman character, and there hadn't been any of those on TV.
That originated on All in the Family, right? And then spun off into its own show?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that that's how that worked. Yeah. And then, of course, she was also in you know, a lot of classic movies. And the most notable of which, I think, is the Lucille Ball version of MAME.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where she played the best friend, and she and Lucille Ball had a duet, Bosom Buddies, I think is the name of the song. And she's absolutely hysterical in the flick.
Well,
so
it's
very sad, Bea Arthur.
Very sad.
Very sad.
I'm getting a mask. I don't want the swine flu.
She didn't die of the swine flu.
All right. That's what you say.
Speaking of swine, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 146. Thank you for checking us out here. And you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com where you can check out all the episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff and download those. And for those of you who are listening on an iPod or on your computers using QuickTime or iTunes, you can see related imagery to the things we're talking about will pop right up on your iPod, your picture iPod. Or in the iTunes artwork window, I think. And for those of you who don't have either of those devices or services, you may go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and select the photo gallery for this particular episode to see some of those related images.
That's right.
You can also get the official T-shirt.
You can
check out our video segments. I think a new one just went up there.
Wow.
And another one, I think, is on its way.
On its way.
Lots of video to check out over there.
We also have the hotline.
Yes. And what is the hotline?
It is 425-920-6050.
That's right. You can go over there and you can leave us a question or a comment if you have anything you'd like to... what's that, Matt? That sounds like
The hotline, I think.
Sounds like the hotline. Wait, let's go to that question now.
Hey, I was just wondering, you guys said Wolverine was crap. Just wondering where you heard that. Are you guys serious? I hope not. I hope it's good. Anyway, see ya.
Well, yeah, we did say Wolverine was crap.
Along with everybody else.
But let's qualify why we said that or why I said that or whatever it was. And that was because... by and large, phone calls and the comments that we've been getting from people who have seen the much publicized unfinished print of Wolverine have said that it's crap.
And we should say something about that on that print, if that's okay, if we could say something here.
Yeah, sure.
So Fox came out and they were like, no, that's not the actual movie. There's so much more. There's scenes and then there's like special effects and shit.
Right.
You know, like people have actually seen the final cut now and there's no extra scenes.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, Fox is doing.
There's some special effects, certainly.
Right.
But as far as these massive scenes that are going to alter your opinion on the movie, they're not there.
Yeah. And I've heard that. And, so what I said was is that it would likely be crap. I don't think I actually said it was crap because I haven't seen it, so I can't call it crap. And I refuse to watch a work print of a movie simply so that I'll have seen it, whatever it was, 2 or 3 weeks before it opened, which is by and large ridiculous. You want to appreciate this movie. Even if it sucks, you want to go see it in the movie theater.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, first of all, if nothing else, to support the fact that films like this, maybe the good versions, will continue to get made because we'll continue to see them in the movie theater. The other thing that led to my thinking it was going to be crap or suggesting that that it would be crap is the fact that the toy line from Hasbro
looks terrible.
Well, not only are they not great toys because they're 3 3/4. Because 6 inch is dead or dying at Hasbro. I think it's pretty much dead at this point. Not only are they 3 3/4, which is not so attractive, but they've actually let loose a lot of images that I don't know that necessarily the movie or Fox wanted released. Like, pretty much we know what happens to Deadpool now.
Right.
We don't know how it happens, but we know what he looks like. And a bunch of other things like that, which I thought was... crappish, if you will.
I agree.
And so that's what led to our comments about the Wolverine movie. So we're suggesting that it's likely crap. And after this week, we'll be able to say for sure that it's crap. Or we'll be wrong. So thanks for the call. Don't forget, you can call the hotline at
425-920-6050.
Right, and leave us a message, and you could hear yourself and your issue be addressed on a future show.
Well, since you've brought up Hasbro,
I have not brought up anything because
it's already been brought in.
That is not Anglish.
It is, according to Jamie Presley, and not another teen movie. I heard it. While you brought up Hasbro, Hasbro, along with Discovery Communications, announced a joint venture today to build and release a children and family entertainment and education network, a channel for your television.
Okay.
In which it will build upon shows from franchises upon which it currently owns.
So we're going to see some Hasbro toy-related TV.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
I guess. I
like Wolverine and the X-Men.
You know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not overly thrilled with most of Hasbro's toy lines.
Transformers?
Most of it, right? Few exceptions here and there, but as a whole.
G.I. Joe?
Not so much. That doesn't bode well for the quality of their cartoons, I'm thinking, or shows, or whatever they choose to be. I mean, I guess only time will tell, but I think it's interesting that Hasbro is venturing into the TV world.
Well, I mean, it's like gas stations when they started to carry food, you know?
Yeah, but all they carry is like stale churros.
Yeah, but I mean, just when they just started in general having food, you know, back in the day, sir, they had gas.
Right.
And that was nothing else. You know, it's kind of the same thing. They need to up the revenue stream a little. They got to offer more services. And I think Hasbro is just, you know, trying to offer some food.
Yes. Ew. All right, reboot of the week.
Oh, here we go.
We've actually talked about this before, so it's not entirely new news, but it's official and confirmed now. Robert Rodriguez will be rebooting the Predator franchise.
That Robert was a rumor. Rodriguez is doing this?
Yes.
And he's rebooting it?
He is rebooting the franchise. They're saying he is rebooting, starting over.
So
rebuilding.
Is he going to redo Predator 1?
Presumably that's what that means. Unless he's taking it in a completely new angle.
That's weird.
You know? I mean, I don't know. Is rebooting different from remaking?
Reimagining?
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Batman was a reboot. Batman Begins was a reboot.
Absolutely.
You know, so generally it was the same sort of thing, but different.
But different. So
it wasn't reimagined as a guy who is genetically crossed with a bat.
And it actually wasn't even a remake of the first Batman movie.
No, not at all.
At all. So
right.
Different villain, different story, yada yada. So he's rebooting the franchise. Ooh. It's official.
Speaking of rebooting.
Yeah.
Marvel is toying with the idea of rebooting the Marvel 2099 line.
Why?
Because there's no God.
But I don't want Ravage 2099 anymore.
I don't know.
The dude
I don't know about
that lives in the garbage heap.
I don't know about Ravage, sir.
Wasn't that his name?
I don't know about that character per se. Yeah, you know, it was a short-lived 1990s thing in Marvel Universe. They had Punisher, Spider-Man, X-Men, Ghost Rider. And actually, Ghost Rider was pretty good. X-Men wasn't terrible either. I actually enjoyed those two books. But that said, they're doing some sort of crazy time thing again.
Okay.
Where they will thrust... Now, get this. Wolverine and Spider-Man into the 2099 universe.
Why?
Because they're the most popular characters. That's why. And somehow, of course, that will alter or something. Of course, another Doc Brown moment happening here where this will have altered somehow. The Punisher 2099 coming into the past... and somehow this will screw up how the 2099 universe forms. So the 2099 universe will be slightly different than the universe you remember. Yeah, it's all part of a miniseries called Time Storm 2009-2099.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well. And will it lead to a relaunch?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm sure hoping not. I'm sure hoping that this kind of crap is just finished and done
with.
Just
crap?
I just don't get it. And then they just did more new universe books this year.
It's Marvel, sir. What's to get? There's nothing to get. It just is what it is.
Makes me sick. I don't understand it.
All right, back to Robert Rodriguez. Because, you know, never can have enough of him in the news.
Jeez.
Remember Machete?
Yeah, I remember
one of the trailers.
Yeah, the little trailer from it's one of the fake trailers they made for Grindhouse.
For Grindhouse, and I think it was one of the first ones. I think it aired before Planet Terror.
Okay,
which was Robert Rodriguez's film,
right?
In the Grindhouse series, Robert Rodriguez is moving forward with Danny Trejo and doing Machete the movie.
We interviewed Danny Trejo. When was
that? San Diego.
San Diego, right?
Yeah.
And he said this was going to happen.
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation. Ever since Grindhouse hit, there was immediate response from people for a full-length Machete movie. And so naturally, you know, people listen to buzz. And so there's been a lot of speculation for a long time.
Right.
But it looks like this is another one of those official greenlit going forward movies. So
right.
Robert Rodriguez in the news again with Machete.
Nice.
Robert Langdon. Do you know who that is?
Yes, that is Tom Hanks' character from the movie Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons.
And the soon lost symbol.
Is that the new book?
Now, Dan Brown is writing a new book, or has written a new book, which is scheduled to come out, I think, sometime in the fall.
Okay.
And Columbia has already greenlit the movie.
Wow. Will it be... Tom Hanks.
It will be Tom Hanks in the role again.
Will it be Ron Howard as the director?
It will be Ron Howard.
Wow.
So they're banking on Angels and Demons doing stellar.
I guess
if it tanks, they still have the opportunity to pull the carpet out from underneath it. But as of right now, they're moving forward. Nah, I think just based on name recognition alone.
Right.
Personal preference, I think Angels and Demons is a better book than the Da Vinci Code. So
they have switched it, though.
They have switched.
Because
Angels and Demons was originally a prequel.
Right, and now they've made it a sequel.
Correct. So, I don't know exactly where the lost symbol falls in there.
Right.
But there
we'll
it
find
is.
Out, I guess.
I guess so. Remember Drop Dead Fred?
Yeah, Drop Dead Fred, movie with Phoebe Cates.
Right.
And was that Yahoo Serious? No, it wasn't Yahoo Serious. It's Drop Dead Fred, was it? I don't think it was. Well, whoever it was, yes, I remember the movie. He was
Rick
the
Mile.
Okay, he was the imaginary friend
right.
of Phoebe Cates'
right.
character growing up and all this jazz and hilarity ensued because she was an adult and she needed her friend or some crap. Yeah, I remember it. What about it?
Universal's doing it over with Russell Brand in the role of Fred.
Who's Russell Brand?
He's that British comedian guy that everybody thought was going to play like Jack Sparrow's brother or whatever it was in the fourth pirate movie.
Is there anybody is there anything I've known?
He kind of has eyeliner. He kind of has hair like Jack Sparrow. He's actually somewhat funny.
Has he ever done a movie?
He did. What was that movie with Jason Segel?
Guy. He just put out a book too.
Yes, Savings.
Not Saving
no,
Sarah.
No, Saving
Silverman.
Sarah Marshall.
It's Leaving Sarah Marshall.
What, that one.
Yeah.
Something with Sarah, something with leaving, maybe not. Jason Segel was in it.
Yeah, it's Leaving Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, that one.
Uh-huh. He was like the boyfriend rocker guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy's, yeah, he's really funny, actually. He just did a book, too. I think he just released a book. It's like something, his wanky book or something like that.
I mean, I suppose if you're going to remake that movie, I could potentially see him in the role of Fred. I don't know if you need
Who's
to remake
be the
that
girl?
Movie. I don't know that they've announced that yet.
I can't believe they're going to remake Drop Dead Fred. That's unbelievable.
What do you want me to tell you? I just report it. I don't have to
tell me some
it.
New shit.
Robert Zemeckis has recently said he's interested in potentially doing a follow-up to Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Uh-huh.
Ridley Scott has recently said he's interested in possibly doing a prequel to Alien.
Uh-huh.
Nothing?
Nothing.
I
Very
tried.
Exciting. All of it.
I tried. I'd like to see another Roger Rabbit. I think you could kind of do that again.
Right.
No?
A sequel to Roger Rabbit? Where would you go with it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Toontown?
Yeah. Toontown is, you know.
What's his name is still alive, right?
Bob Eddie? Hoskins?
Yeah, Bob Hoskins is still around.
He's still alive.
Jessica Rabbit is still Jessica Rabbit?
I guess. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Prequel to Aliens. Alien. That would be interesting, I guess. I'm sure that was just an off comment he made to somebody.
But
like,
wasn't...
Yeah, I could do a prequel.
Wasn't Predator versus Alien kind of like the first one? Wasn't that kind of like a prequel to Alien?
No.
Was that
Alien takes place in the future, yeah.
Right.
All the Aliens movies take place in the future.
But Alien versus Predator, the first one.
Right.
Wasn't that a prequel to Alien? That took place before the Alien movie, didn't it?
All the Predator movies take place before Alien.
Okay, so.
Well, it's not really a prequel per se.
Well,
I'm sure he's talking about
I understand. Well, but what I'm saying
you
is.
You are Doc Browning me into a
what
corner.
I'm saying is we've already explored something that takes place prior to Alien.
Right.
And
it
really
was
wasn't great.
All the Predator movies.
and AVP 1 and 2.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just getting it in there.
Got it.
You want to take a break?
Yes, please.
This first segment has crashed.
Because you have hurt my brain.
I've hurt my own brain.
With your time traveling. I can't stand all this time traveling nonsense.
Well, that's what it is. Nonsense. Hullabaloo.
And we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 146. B. Arthur has the swine flu. Is that what we're calling this?
I think so. No, it's thank you for listening, for being a friend. Don't get the swine flu.
No, it's nowhere. No.
Wear a SARS mask.
Combo breaker.
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out ComboBreaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's that time of the night, we turn on the black light. Let the Dungeons and the Dragons begin. It's D&D.
And, of course, that means it's time for our Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition update of the week.
Yes.
And because that's the theme music for that segment.
It is.
And let's just say it's going to be a quickie today. We got some very, very exciting news for those of you that have been following our progress on covering the 4th Edition of D&D. The Eberron Universe fans can rejoice.
Party hardy.
Because the books for 4th Edition are coming.
Right. The first book, which is the Eberron Player's Guide, is scheduled to be in stores June 16th. So a mere month and a half away.
Right.
The Eberron Campaign Guide, which is the first supplement to the Player's Guide, is scheduled to hit stores July 21st, which is a month after the Player's Guide.
Right.
So within the course of the summer, you will get two Eberron books.
And finally, we will get to sit down and actually play in the Eberron universe. Now, we should explain. Eberron is a campaign setting, a world, if you will, in which a dungeon master, a person running the game master, may decide that he wants to play in that world. And that world has a developed atlas and cultures and everything else already preset, so he doesn't really have to create those things, which is a nice thing. Eberron was actually, I think, a fan-written part of a contest, I think. And it was
that's what it was. It was good shit.
Yeah, it was part of a contest, and that was the one that was selected, and it's absolutely fantastic. And we've been saying for such a long time, we can't wait for the 4th edition Eberron books, which they promised us were coming, are finally here. We will actually get to sit down and hack through this 4th edition as players and game masters. And I'm very, very excited about this. So let's just give those dates again. The Player's Guide is June 16th.
Right.
And the campaign guide, which would be the overall picture of the campaign setting.
July 21st.
July 21st. So there it is. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D. Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
I think we have some products we want to talk about next.
Well, certainly.
Both what's coming and what we have.
Yeah, let's talk about the future for a second.
All right.
From Bowen Designs, it's just been solicited, and it's very, very exciting. We don't talk a lot about some of this stuff because it's kind of, they're just kind of making their way through every character in the world. But when Randy Bowen Designs, who does all the Marvel statuary, all the good Marvel statuary, I should say, does the Frog of Thunder mini bust. We can all rejoice.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not kidding. The Frog of Thunder mini bust finally coming to a store near you. And just as a little background, it's actually a fabtastic. That's not a word either.
It could be.
It's actually a fantastic older Thor storyline, where a character called Curse turns Thor into a frog.
Okay.
and the frog is in Central Park, and he becomes involved in the frog rat wars of Central Park. Absolutely awesome storyline. It's my favorite Thor storyline ever. Walt Simonson on that one. Absolutely awesome. And now Frog of Thunder mini bust. I'm actually picking that one up, I got to tell you.
I want a quarter scale Frog of Thunder.
Really? Because it's like this big. Actually, why don't you get a 1-1 scale?
Quarter scale will be like 50 cent.
And also, bouncing over to DC, DC Direct has teamed up with Hot Toys
again
to produce yet another Joker toy, 1/6 scale, which is a 12-inch scale.
Right.
Joker from the movie.
Nice.
Another Heath Ledger Joker action figure. This time, he's in the Gotham City police uniform. So you remember the scene where they try to kill the mayor, and it's that parade thing, and that's what it is. He's in that uniform. His face is all, you know, fleshed out, and he has the rifle and the dress uniform on, and it's an absolutely fantastic piece, as always. The sculptor, I mean, you look at the sculptor, the sculpture of his face, the likeness of his face, you think you're looking right at him. You really got to wonder if you're looking at a photograph or not. I mean, they are amazing.
Hey,
those guys at Hot Toys. Now, as exciting as this would normally be,
right?
It is doubly exciting when you find out what it comes with.
What does it come with?
It comes with another head.
Okay.
Okay. So a complete second head, right, which is back with his hair is all green and his face is painted back up.
Okay.
An entire movie accurate costume.
What's the costume?
The entire, it's his entire, you know, the long purple coat, the green vest.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Like the main outfit.
Yes, the main outfit. Even more accurate than the one that they previously did on the one that came out a few months ago that we talked about.
Nice.
Yeah. And this time around, they have actually included the entire grenade sort of setup.
Okay.
On the inside of the coat that he has with the little pull thing.
Yeah.
So, you're actually almost getting two figures out of this set.
At this point, they should just release a body and a bunch of different outfits.
Well, listen, let's get to that. First of all, it's imported from Japan, and you know the quantities will be limited.
And they play dress up there.
But that said, it's $200.
That's retarded.
It's $195 retail.
Well, okay. There are some 12-inch pieces that come from, let's say, Sideshow.
Right.
That retail at well over $100.
Okay.
Some of the Star Wars pieces. Like, okay. I think there's a Vader piece that's coming out that's like $130.
Okay.
Okay. So, I guess you're paying essentially $100 a figure. Kind of, sort of. Right? Oh, but there's not two bodies, though.
No.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
It's expensive, but let's say this. You can actually get a plain Hot Toys body for maybe $30-$40.
On like the eBay or something? Yeah.
Let's call it $30.
Okay.
Now you're paying $195 and $30 is what? 2.25.
Right.
2.25 divided by 2 is $112.
Okay, so there it is.
So you're practically paying Sideshow prices and you're getting two absolutely stellar figures out of it.
All right.
So it's, you know, it's almost worth it. It almost is worth it.
All right. Almost.
I'm just saying. I think it's good.
Let's go to Sideshow.
Okay, let's go to Sideshow. Now, this is stuff that is actually out now. Well, right. We shouldn't go to Sideshow. Let's stick with Hot Toys for a minute.
Okay.
Because one of the pieces we're going to talk about here is the Iron Man Mark III from Hot Toys.
That's a nice piece.
First of all, the packaging is fantastic. I mean, and this is Hot Toys imported by Sideshow. So, you know, are they all working together or something to make this fantastic packaging?
In cahoots?
It opens into this many-fold.
Trifold, I believe.
Unbelievable. And it has all sorts of information and artwork. And it's just fabulous with a magnetic closure as well. This is a 12-inch movie accurate Iron Man.
Mark III.
Mark III. So that's the orange and gold. They did a Mark I, which is awesome.
That's the one I really, really want.
Right. And the Mark II is basically the Mark III, but it's still in all steel color.
Right.
He has light-up features on his chest, his eyes, and his hands. If you have the repulsor hands up,
right,
they light up as well.
Right. I wanted to say something about those lights. They're all separate.
Yes.
Like each arm.
Yeah.
Right? The chest and the head, yep, I think, might be on the same.
They have tiny little switches.
But each arm is separate from each other.
That's correct.
Pretty impressive.
It's more impressive when you realize that you have to put batteries in each arm.
Each arm.
And the batteries for the chest and head go in the chest area there. Also comes with a spot-on sculpture of a sculpted second head of Robert Downey Jr. Spot on, perfect sculpture.
Even if for some reason you're not a fan of this movie, let's say you're crazy, right?
Yeah, let's say that.
But you're a huge Iron Man fan.
Oh, you want it?
You want this piece?
Oh, absolutely.
Just as a representation of Iron Man in the Mark III suit.
This is
a fantastic piece.
This is without question is the best Iron Man figure I've ever seen.
Absolutely,
of any type ever. And if it comes from the movie, so what? It has all the little movable parts, the air brakes on the back and on the back of the legs as well. It has all that stuff. It has the little bits that pop up and move, and everything is moving. If it's a separate piece in the movie, it's a separate piece here, and it moves. Absolutely wonderful and perfect. You can look for this absolutely to be featured in an upcoming Studio V session over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Nice.
And from Sideshow.
This is good stuff right here.
Now, this is the first in their 12-inch G.I. Joe line.
Right. And there are several other pieces that are pretty exciting in this line. I'll mention those in a sec, though.
Right. But this is arguably the most popular guy here. It's Snake Eyes,
right?
And he is completely decked from head to toe. Same sort of open up box, magnetic closure box. You open it up, it has a tray full of accessories.
I'm gonna call this the Star Wars packaging.
The Star Wars packaging, right? You have a lot of gray matter, a lot of flavor text, and then you have an awesomely impressive 12-inch figure of Snake. Absolutely awesome. All of it's real. All the costuming is real. The belts, the clips, everything is 100% real. There's no sort of molded clothing or straps or anything else. It's all on there. And he is decked out with so many guns and a sword and so much stuff. I mean, he almost looks... When you stack them all together, he almost looks too full of stuff.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, how is anybody effectively fighting with all of this gear on?
Right.
We should say he is not the movie version of the...
No. This is classic.
He's more of a sort of an amalgamation of all the comic book entities, you will. Yeah. And there he is, 12-inch figure. He's the first in the line with Cobra Commander and a Cobra Trooper also on the way.
Storm Shadow is also on the way.
Yes, Storm Shadow as well.
They also, and is this the first time? You're going to have to let me know. They have coming out in, I guess, fourth quarter of this year, a 12-inch environment for these pieces.
Okay.
It's Recon at Waypoint 12, and it comes with Timber, which is Storm Shadows. Is it Snake Eyes?
It's Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes, Little Wolf.
Wolf. Okay. Yeah.
And it's an environment for the piece. So it's not just that generic stand that comes with the piece.
Right.
It's kind of like a busted up wall, and it's got timber, you know, mounted onto the wall.
Right.
But it adds a little bit more to the display quality of the piece. Is that the first time that they've released a 12-inch display?
No.
Oh, they did some with Star Wars, didn't they?
They did some with Star Wars.
Okay.
They also...
Like the Holocron chess set and stuff like that.
That's more of an accessory than an environment, but the... the one they have coming out is the tractor beam control area of the Death Star in 12-inch scale, which is nice. And the other one would be the Indiana Jones had a huge one.
I don't remember that, but
it came with Belloc. It was the where the idol sits. You know, and he has to weigh the idol in the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark with a little pedestal that the idol sits on. Yeah, that
comes
they
with,
came
that
out
whole,
with that. Yeah.
That whole setup.
So. Yeah, that was the deluxe version.
Well, maybe this is a new direction for Sideshow then. These 12-inch display, they're expensive, though.
I don't doubt it.
$130 for
but
the
it's worth
Joe
it.
One.
It's worth it, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
if you really want to properly display that
you're getting
that
a character, you're getting
sure.
a good
and
piece
and plus
out
you're
of
getting
it.
Timber, which is nice.
Right,
so.
Right.
Okay, comic books.
Comic books. Let's get through it.
Let's get through it.
Apes and Babes, Book One, The Art of Frank Cho.
God damn you, Frank Cho.
A whole bunch of Frank Cho artwork in pencil form, ink form, and full color, and both in a lot of cases. So you can see where the pencil work turned into the beautifully colored drawings of Frank Cho. A lot of his work in the last couple of years, cover-wise, appears in this hardcover, beautiful volume. Love Frank Cho's art, not so in love with Frank Cho.
Right. But God damn it, I'm going to have that freaking book now.
They're collecting Liberty Meadows in landscape format.
Ah, fucking hell.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you because I knew you'd be
upset. I'm going to have to kill somebody now.
Star Wars Adventures, from Dark Horse Comic. It's a little tiny book.
Bitty.
Yeah, in the animated format, and they've done something they haven't done yet,
okay.
Which is they've done, they've started to do pre-New Hope stories. So this one that we have that just came out, Han Solo and the Hollow Moon of Coria.
Okay.
It says, takes place approximately 1 year before Star Wars A New Hope. So you're kind of getting more of these little sort of standalone adventures, and it's a digest format, the animated style. Absolutely awesome from Dark Horse. Also from Dark Horse and Star Wars Legacy 35. It's the best Star Wars comic book out there. I don't care what anybody says. From DC, our friends over at DC, it's Battle for the Cowl, The Underground.
Okay.
Number one, Chris Yost and Pablo Remiandi are telling us how the criminal element of Gotham is handling this whole who's going to be Batman situation. And they focus on the Penguin, Two-Face, and the Riddler. Penguin, by the way, in this book looks exactly like Danny DeVito from the
oh my God,
second Batman
Jesus.
Movie. So someone's a fan. From Image Comics, The Astounding Wolfman, number 15. This book, I'm telling you, I don't understand why everybody on the planet who likes comics and werewolves isn't reading this book. Because it's action-packed, it's got hero elements. I mean, it's really, really some good stuff. Check that out, Astounding Wolfman, number 15. From Marvel Comics, Captain America, Theater of War, A Brother in Arms. Now, this is yet another one-shot Captain America story that takes place during World War II. So now, a bunch of these have come out recently, or at least one other one has come out. They're starting to put a lot of emphasis on reminding people that Captain America was a hero during World War II. Why on earth would they be doing that?
I don't know.
But I'm guessing more of them are going to be coming.
I guess so.
And finally, we're going to end out this week in comics with a trade paperback. From Red 5 Comics, it's Neozoic Volume 1. Now, Neozoic is sci-fi fantasies... A sci-fi fantasy sort of book with dinosaurs, and it's absolutely, it's so interesting. The art is so unique, and the story is so good. I'm recommending that everybody check it out.
Okay.
Absolutely unique. This is almost, you know, this sort of Neozoic, it almost lends itself to gaming in a way. I mean, I can almost see this as its own RPG. I mean, it's that interesting a world. You know what I mean? We talked about Eberron before. This, too, is a very interesting sort of world that's been created. Neozoic, Red 5 Comics. Check that out.
Got a couple other things I wanted to just bring up in this segment real quick.
Oh, okay.
We got a book this week.
Yeah?
From some people who listen to the show. These are the folks over at Vegemation Press. And they're putting out these series of books that are meant to introduce us to upcoming artists.
Okay.
Okay. Some within the comics industry, some just in general. The name of the series is called Introducing... ... And I believe this is the first one in the series. It features some art and design by five featured artists, some of who have upcoming books that you'll see. I think one is coming from Ape Entertainment in the near future. I think there's a couple guys that just have some art projects going on. I just want to say The Cock Noir. Did you see that one in here?
No, I didn't. I was looking at, there's a couple of Marvel covers in here, but I don't know exactly what the book is. So I was looking at those.
But this is a good series. It's a great way to introduce yourself to some of these artists. I think you'll find that some of these art styles would probably kind of lend itself very naturally to some comic books as well as some other stuff in general. If you're a fan of, at least for this series, if you're a fan of kind of more cartoony, stylized art.
Yeah, lots of stylized stuff in here.
You know, this is something definitely you want to check out. I particularly like Jeff Cruz, who I think is the first artist in the book. He's got some really interesting stuff. This man-chicken film noir mystery series that he has in here, there's like four or five pieces.
Okay.
Is really, really cool. I like that a lot. And then also Bob Strang, who's got a book coming out from Ape called The Creeps.
Uh-huh.
Looks really, really good. Looks really interesting. So I think, I don't know. I just think maybe this is worthwhile checking out. Again, if you go to Vegemation Press, that's Vegemation Press.com, and I'll put a link to that up on the website also.
Okay.
You could check this book out.
Terrific.
Now, Night Owls. Our friends, the Timoney Brothers, they do that web strip for Zuda.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty significant that their second season just wrapped up this past week.
Nice.
And congratulations to them, because a day or so after it wraps up, they get the official announcement. They're moving on to season three. They're going to be continuing the series, which is pretty awesome. And then they also, as a special release for season two of the book, if you go over to nightowlscomic.com, they have a downloadable PDF file that acts as a commentary to the series.
Okay.
So it's a series of comments, inspiration, thought process behind some each individual strips. As a matter of fact, there's an explanation in there about one of the thugs that gets killed off, Matt Cipolletti. So you can check that out. And a nice little plug to Big Kev's Geek stuff in that commentary as well.
Oh yeah?
So you should look at that.
And
NightOwlsComic.com.
Okay, then we'll check that out.
Got some DVDs.
Yeah, actually, we only have two DVDs to talk
about.
That's
it?
Yes.
Wow.
One is Bride Wars. Oh. No, it's not.
I was going to say,
wrong
really?
With you?
I almost was excited there
for a second.
I know,
you were like, ugh. We had talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and here they are at last. The X-Men cartoon from the 90s that many of us
loved.
Or at least liked a lot,
is
finally coming out on DVD legally. And it's actually two DVDs this week. Volume 1 featuring Night of the Sentinels and Volume 2 featuring the Phoenix Saga. Each contain, what? First one contains 16 episodes. Second one contains episodes 17 through 33.
Okay, so these are then in order of the series.
It would appear that way.
Okay, because at first, when you were first reading off what they were, the individual series, I thought they were randomly scooping storylines from it and releasing them, and that would just suck.
No, it's
just
no.
Just fucking release the whole thing.
Yeah, they're releasing them. They're releasing them in
well,
order.
That's good. 33 episodes.
33 episodes
to,
in two
to
discs
launch.
Isn't bad.
No, that's a good start.
In actually, it's four discs in two separate
two
collections.
Yeah.
Right. It terrific. It's got some terrific box art. Obviously, a fan of the X-Men will absolutely want these, and I'm sure I've seen them already. But you should definitely check these out if you're a fan. And you can find those, if you're lucky, you can find them somewhere, because my Best Buy sold out of them in like the day they came out. Both of them.
Well, it's a hot item.
I'm just saying. But you can check out all the local, you know, all the
establishments.
Yes. And, you know, your online establishments.
Retailers.
Well, and yes.
Let's take a break.
Okay, let's. And we'll be right back with the wrap up of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 146. B. Arthur and the Swine Flu. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow.
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. InHisLikeness.com.
Hey, this is Peter Fonda from 310 to Yuma, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Get cool.
Born to be wild.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 146.
B. Arthur and the Swine Flu.
B. Arthur and the Swine Flu.
That's as best as you're going to get out of me.
That's it?
Yep.
All right. What did we talk about tonight? Robert Rodriguez all over the news tonight. We talked about Machete and his reboot of the Predator franchise. We also talked about Universal, for some reason, redoing Drop Dead Fred.
We talked about Marvel attempting to, in some way, see if there's an audience for the 2099 characters from the 90s to bring those back. And they're going to try it in a little book called Time Storm 2009 to 2099.
Hasbro is launching its own television network, and Robert Langdon is coming out in a third film. I hope the second movie's good.
It's coming out?
Yes, he's the gay. It's Philadelphia 2 is actually what he's making.
Wow. Robert Langdon in Philadelphia 2.
Too soon?
Yeah, too soon.
Robert Zemeckis has also talked about a new Roger Rabbit, and Ridley Scott, when he's done with Robin Hood, talked about a possible Aliens prequel.
I don't believe it.
Also, coming to you in June and July of this year, Eberron finally comes to Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. On June 16th, we're getting the Eberron Player's Handbook, and on July 24th, we're getting the first Eberron Campaign Setting Guide.
Yes, and for more information, you can go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
And we also had some product that we talked about tonight.
Yes, we talked about the Frog of Thunder mini bust coming from Bowen Designs. Great sort of character from Marvel Comics. We also talked about Hot Toys bringing us yet another Joker figure, and in reality, two Joker figures.
Ooh-wee!
Yes, in the form of the police uniform Joker. Comes with a complete set. You can make an entire other figure out of it, 12-inch figure. Going to run about $195, being imported by DC Direct. And from Sideshow and Hot Toys, we talked about the 1/6 scale, 12-inch sized Iron Man Mark III from the movie. It is absolutely a stellar, stellar toy. It's got light-up features, got a spot-on sculpt of Robert Downey Jr. as a separate head. Awesome, awesome piece. And just as awesome is Sideshow's first release in their G.I. Joe 12-inch line, and it is, of course, Snake Eyes.
Right.
So loaded with equipment, he looks almost too loaded with stuff. All clothing is real and belts and things, and it's got great Star Wars packaging, you know, the Star Wars type packaging that we've talked about in the past. And, yeah. And then in comics this week, we'd like you to check out The Astounding Wolfman, number 15, Captain America, Theater of War, Brother in Arms, one shot. Battle for the Cowl, The Underground, one shot. Star Wars Legacy 35 from Dark Horse Comics. And also Star Wars Adventures, Han Solo and the Hollow Moon of Korva from Dark Horse. It's that digest sort of format, animated right. style, terrific. And from Red 5, the collection of Neozoic Volume 1. Absolutely terrific, terrific stuff. Great art, great story. You should check that out. As well as the great art found in Apes and Babes, Book 1, Art of Frank Cho. It's a nice, big, oversized art book. Always a treat.
Don't forget, introducing by Vegemation Press if you want to check out some great new artwork. And also, congratulations to the guys over at Night Owls, nightowlscomics.com for the Night Owls commentary download.
Yes, and finally in DVDs, the only things we discussed other than Bride Wars was X-Men, the animated series from the 90s that everyone knows and loves, finally on DVD. Two volumes released, Volume 1 featuring Night of the Sentinels and Volume 2 featuring the Phoenix Saga. And yeah, 33 episodes. Fantastic release. Nice start. We understand from Triple B that Volume 3 is on its way as well. So this is going to be at least one more volume. I got to see how many episodes it is because I remember it being quite a few. But that said, I think that's everything.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can download every episode. You can check out the video segments, buy the t-shirts, participate in the fun, dare I say.
Yes, there's forums.
There are forums.
And people participate.
And we are on Twitter.
Yeah, we are?
We are on Twitter.
We have a Twitter account?
We do now.
Oh,
BKGeekStuff. Twitter.com/BKGeekStuff.
Nice. I'm not going on that.
I'm on
if
there
you
also.
Get it, if you
so
get
Twitter.com, GeekStuffOG, if you want to follow me.
Yes, because you'll be following OG both ways because you're not following me on any Twitter.
Well, the R account is just going to be for show-related stuff.
I see. Good.
Nothing personal.
You can tweet that coming June 1st, Big Kev Eats Stuff.
I'm not tweeting it because I don't believe it.
You will believe it.
All right.
And with that, Triple B, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 146, B. Arthur and the Swine Flu?
B. Arthur should have washed her hands.
And on that note, we cue the music.
We'll always be somebody's friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you. If I say that your tongue is vicious, if I call you uncouth, it's simply that. Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the truth? Though now and again I'm aware that my candid opinion may sting,
though often my frank observation might scald. I've been meaning to tell you for years, you should keep your hair natural like mine.
If I kept my hair natural like yours, I'd be bald. But darling, we'll always be dear companions. My crony,
my mate,
we'll always be harmonizing. Orphanage.
Amos and Andy, if I say that your sense of style's as far off as your youth, it's simply that. Who else but a bosom buddy will tell you the whole stinking truth? Each time that a critic has written, your voice is the voice of a frog. Straight to your side to defend you, I rush. You know that I'm there every time that the world makes an unkind remark. When they say Vera Charles is the world's greatest lush, it hurts me. And if I say your fangs are showing, mane pull in your claws, it's simply that. Who else but a bosom buddy will notice the obvious flaws? I feel it's my duty to tell you, it's time to adjust to your age. You try to be Peg of my heart when you're Lady Macbeth. Exactly how old are you, Vera? The truth.
How old do you think?
Oh, I'd say somewhere in between 40 and death.
But, sweetie, I'll always be Alice Toklas if you'll be Gertrude Stein. And though I'll I've gossiped and gloated, but I'm so devoted.
And if I say that sex and guts made you into a star, it's simply that. Oh.